Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning, Crossroads. You can go ahead and have a seat this morning. It's so good to see each and every one of you in service with us. We got kind of worried in the very beginning, snow day, no day. It's like people were staying at home, but you showed up, and regardless of who is here or who isn't here, we're here to worship God, and we're here to serve God, and we're so excited. Can we give our youth worship teams a big hand? They'll be taking up autographs at the end, so you can get those with pictures. It's so good to see our youth leading and serving and using their gifts and their talents for God. And how many know that you that come just on Sundays have gifts and talents that God wants to utilize? And He wants to use you in similar ways, in special ways. And it might not be on the stage. It might be in the front door. It might be in the gym. It might be in the nursery. It might be in the kids' ministry, which we need servants in all of those areas, week in and week out. But thank you for all who serve. Thank you for your faithfulness. We're excited about today. Today I want to introduce Toby. He is the district youth director of the Assemblies of God, the youth ministry of the Assemblies of God. And so he's going to be speaking this morning. He's going to be bringing the word. And so we're so excited to have him. Let's give him a great big hand as he comes this morning. Welcome, Toby, to Crossroads.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for coming out on this snow day, like Pastor said. I'm Toby Schneckloth, and as he said, I do serve as the youth director for Nebraska Youth Ministries. My wife is with me this morning. Kim, you want to just wave at everybody there? Kim, everybody give her a little hand. I have three kids, and I have two boys that are going to UNO College. And so we stayed with them last night in Bellevue. That's where they live and go to church. And that was a fun experience. It's always good to see our kids again and to see what we need to encourage them to clean more in their condo. I told Pastor this morning I was up early going and getting Drano. then we have a daughter who's a junior, and we were with her yesterday at Elkhorn South High School where we had a huge show choir tournament, and she went home with the school, and she's home now, but it's just been a great weekend already, so I'm really excited to be here this morning. I've been serving in my role for the last 14 years, and we live in Grand Island, Nebraska. It's about 2.5 hours west on I-80. And some people say it's in the center of Nebraska. It's kind of all in the center out there. But we are so glad we didn't have to drive from there all the way in this morning. That would have been a lot more fun. but before that, I was on staff at Bellevue Christian Center, a church there in Bellevue. That's where my boys go now. And I was there. My wife and I were there for about 10 years. And so, yeah, we're a little older than maybe I look, but we love that church. That's our home for a long time. And we both grew up in that church, and I would drive in from Glenwood, Iowa, my hometown. So is there any Glenwood people that made it out today? Anybody at all? I didn't know. I thought there might be some Glenwood people in the church, but I wasn't sure if they'd come through the snow. Anybody been to Glenwood? Thank the Lord. Everywhere I go across Nebraska, no one's even hardly heard of it, you know, but it is so good. I feel like I'm home. Thank you, Pastor. You need to have me back every week. This is great. No, I love it. I grew up there, and my family's from there. In fact, my wife is married to Tim Moen's wife. I don't know if anybody knows Tim Moen. Oh, she's not married to her. Sorry. I said that wrong. She is sister of Tim Moen's wife. Wow, we just took another turn, didn't we? Sometimes I'm funny and I don't even try to be. That's pretty good. Yes, they're sisters. And so anybody who knows Tim, I know Tim grew up in this church, and he just texted, you know, he's praying for us to have a great service today too. So talking about my kids, I just wanted to brag on my son a little bit. Ryan is a sophomore at UNO, and he's taking graphic design. And did anybody here watch the Super Bowl last week? A couple of you? Yeah, it wasn't that exciting of a game, was it? Nope. We had a youth, our youth group from our church back home, we had a youth group party at our house, and so everybody was having a great time, and I'm glad because it really was a snoozer of a game. And I like football. I'm a Broncos fan, so just in case anybody likes them. But so yeah, I wasn't too much in the game, but I guess the halftime show was supposed to be this incredible thing, and had the guy from the one of the judges from The Voice on TV was on there, but my son was all excited because they were going to do a tribute to SpongeBob. Does anybody know anything about this? Yeah, so the creator of the cartoon SpongeBob passed away, I think this past year. And so one of the episodes of SpongeBob had him playing the halftime show of the Super Bowl. So as a tribute to this guy, they were going to do that. So my son, who doesn't like football at all, was really into the Super Bowl this year, probably more than me, all because he wanted to see this halftime show. So the halftime show started, and they're playing music, and then all of a sudden, SpongeBob came on for like 5 seconds, and then it went back to the halftime show. And so my son, the graphic design UNO student, said, "That was wrong. He should have done the whole thing. I can't believe they only gave him 5 seconds." And I had to hear all about it, you know. So he stayed up all night that night and made his own halftime show. Not lying. And I wanted to show you a clip of it this morning. Can I do that? Would that be all right? All right. So let's go ahead and play that now.
Who needs no introduction?
It's the thrill of one more kill, the last one to fall. We'll never sacrifice their will. Don't ever look back on the world closing in. The only attack with your wings on the wind. Oh, the gates will be dead.
All right, that's all I wanted to show you. It goes on about another minute. But yeah, you can give a hand for that. That's fine. That's... So I watched it. My wife said, "Toby, you got to see this. You got to see this." And so I watched this video. And I was really busy this week, so it took me a couple days to get to it. But I watched this video, and I'm like, okay, it's great. I didn't think much about it. I'm not a true SpongeBob fan. I don't know if there's any out there. But she goes, "No, you don't understand. It has over 280,000 views on Twitter." And I'm like, really? Yeah, I don't know. It has like thousands and thousands of retweets and all this stuff. And so my son even got a call from some producer in Hollywood that said, "Wow, I love that so much. Let's talk." And he said, "Well, I'm a busy college student." I said, "No, you're not." Isn't that amazing? And, you know, to me, that kind of looks like nonsense. You know, I don't get it. But it's my son, and I'm proud of him, and he's excelling in the gifts God's given him. And so I just wanted to show you a little bit of that this morning. And I thought, what better day than on a youth Sunday, right, where we're celebrating our teens. Didn't they do a great job? I thought that was incredible. And I thought the pastor was kind of joking about the autographs. I think that could really happen. I mean, these guys were all stars up here. And I was really impressed. I do travel and see a lot, and my wife is shaking her head because they'll tell you, we see a lot of youth groups, and there's some incredible talent there. And you guys have done a great job with your young people. You should give yourselves a pat on the back, pat your neighbor on the back, because you're doing good with teens here in Council Bluffs. You know, the director of Nebraska Youth Ministries, the last 2 years or so, we've seen plenty of your students at some of our programs, right? We have a program called Student Summit, which involves a program called Fine Arts, and the students have all participated in that and done an incredible job and gotten some medals that they've taken home. Hopefully still have those medals somewhere. And then also our summer camp. We own a campground right in the middle of Nebraska, Lexington. And even last year, one of the great dorm leaders was Pastor Joseph right there. Yes. And I prayed hard about, Lord, do I want to show some of these embarrassing photos that I have of him? I chose not to. Oh, wow. You guys really love him. The one thing I remember is somewhere, somehow at the camp, he got bit by a bug. And I got news that we had to rush somebody to the doctor. So I thought, oh, it's going to be one of these frail, young, little teenagers. No, it's the most studly pastor and dorm leader we had at the camp who got bit by a bug. But I don't know if you saw pictures. He probably showed you. It was like this huge thing. It kind of scared me. Like, man, I've been here all summer, and I didn't know a bug like that lived here. Thankfully, he's still alive. Let's give Pastor a round of applause this morning. And you're always welcome back. But I just love having your students with us. And I'm not just saying this. I wanted to tell you the truth. Your students really do bring an incredible spirit with them when they come to our events. And we'll have, 50, 60 churches involved, but I've noticed your students that stand out. And some of the things I wrote down that I noticed about them is they just have such a sweet spirit of being genuine, definitely hearts of worship, and so kind. One of the things I see them doing is being friendly and kind to everybody and all the other groups around them. And the other thing is they have a tremendous happiness. I just see smiles and love all over these guys. And you guys have done a great job. Jesse, congratulations. Being a youth pastor here is a treat because of these awesome students. And one of the things, too, my assistant in my office is named Natalie. And a couple years ago, she was the dorm leader for the girls. And, she kind of came last minute to the camp because we were a little low on leaders. And it kind of was thrown together at the last second. And it was, I thought it was, but God really had a plan in place. Because she said to me before I came at her, she said that she was blessed by them just as much as they, wait a second, I think I said that wrong too. They blessed her as much as she hopefully was able to bless them. And in fact, she said that just a couple of weeks ago, she was texting with somebody and, helping them through some things still in life, which is cool that they're still even working today as a team. And I love that. But unfortunately, that's not the case with youth culture around our country, predominantly in our world today, right? I mean, most of us hear stories all the time about the horrible things that might be happening in our schools or in our neighborhoods with our young people. I mean, how many people have heard about the school shootings that have happened all across our nation? Sure, all of us. These horrible moments where students become enraged and just want to take it all out, and then they go to the schools with violent intents. But that, comes from students who have just given up on themselves, and they want to commit suicide, and they want to kill themselves because they don't find hope anywhere else. And that's such a horrible, tragic place that we're at. But that comes from just the tremendous amount of bullying that's happening with our young people today. It's stepped up a notch from even what you and I might remember when we were kids and how they just attacked them and their identity and their beliefs and their looks and everything about them. And that stems from what's happening at home. Because a lot of these kids that are doing the bullying are only doing what they've been taught at home from what they've seen with their examples of parents. And it's just one thing leading to another. And it's a tough place we're in, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's unfortunate that we're in this place because our present role models, just they're not cutting it anymore. One of the things we do with Nebraska Youth Ministries is we speak at school assemblies. And I do one session that talks about leadership. And I open it up by asking them, has anybody know a leader that's let you down? And I mean, hands all over the gym, all over the auditorium will come up. And it's not even just the leaders that they're familiar with or know by their first name. It's leaders in society. It's their examples in business and in education and in the military and celebrities. Just every sphere of life, we have people that aren't what we thought they were. And then they let us down. And who does that impact more than anybody else? It's the people learning from their example. It's our young people. So I'm here today to challenge us to be the role models that our kids need. I'm challenging us to step up and do what God intended for us to do. The way he made us is that a dad would teach a boy how to be a man. That a mom would teach the daughter how to be a woman. That together those parents would teach them how to be a godly people that would reach this world for Christ in the family. But unfortunately, so many families across our world today aren't living according to that model anymore. And so the church can be a substitute in those situations. In fact, my message to you today is I want to encourage you to be a spiritual parent. A spiritual parent. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Timothy is just starting off, or Paul's starting off this book to his friend Timothy, and he says, "My true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God and from Christ Jesus." But look at that, "my true son in the faith." Timothy helped lead the church in Ephesus, which Paul wrote a letter just to the church, but for Timothy, he wrote a letter just to him. In fact, two of them, because he cared for him so much. He treated him like a son. And I know that we need in our churches today that adults in our churches and leaders would look around their community and look around for those young people and treat them like their own son and their own daughter as a spiritual parent. So here's my question. How can you and I be a spiritual parent to the young people of Council Bluffs and these communities around here today? Well, I have three challenges, three encouragements. The first is this. It starts at home. It starts at home. Isn't that a beautiful picture of a home right there with the fire going in the kitchen? I'm sure there's some good food getting ready to be made, and I would love to eat it. Doesn't that look pretty? It starts at home. What's your home look like? Now, you don't have to have a perfect home to be a spiritual parent, but you should definitely consider what is your home like? Because God wants you to be a spiritual parent in the way that you've been maybe a physical parent for him. So what's your home like? And I would challenge you this. The church is a picture of what a home could be. In fact, a good church is a great example of what you want your home to become like. And I love this church. In fact, my wife and I came here a few years back, and it's totally different. I've been taking pictures all over the morning going, this is beautiful. I'm sure you hear that a lot, but you guys have done well with the way this looks. And even that just shows a desire to be excellent for God, to be relevant in your community, to reach young people in the next generation. And those are things that can also be in our homes. The home should be just like a church. It should be a place of worship. It should be a place that's safe. It should be a place of unity. A peace should exist in that home. That when your kids and your family comes there, they're at peace. And it should be a place of fun and laughter. And all of those things should be in our church as well. So I want to challenge you. It starts at home. Now I'm going to put up a few traits here that you'll see that good parents do with their kids. And you can go ahead and put this up now. But there's eight different things here. And I'm not going to go through each one of these. But certain ones of these will connect to the points that I'm making. And this first point of it, starting at home, I want you to look at trait number one. And again, I won't mention all these. So if you're taking notes, write some of these down. Snap a picture because I won't hit all of them, but you can look at them later. But number one, parents feed their kids. That's an important part of being a parent. In fact, that's one of the first things that happens when they're born, right? Immediately, they have to look to their mom as the provider. And their mom starts feeding them. And that's God's design. If we don't, they won't grow. And it's not just feeding them in the beginning, but you got to learn how to feed them different parts of different times of their life so that they can grow to the next stage and the next stage until you've got two college boys who are eating you out of house and home. And, you know, we were looking through their cabinets yesterday, and it's kind of scary sometimes what you see in a college person's, you know, what they're eating. We got done with our show choir thing, and our boys were like, "Hey, do you guys want to go eat?" And they're like, "Golden Corral." And they ate like three meals in one, you know, because they wanted to get all that. I know what it is to feed a kid. On a spiritual sense, though, God's asking us to feed them the food, the spiritual food. And what is that? That's the Word of God. That's one of the things that we do with our young people is we feed them the Word of God. There's so many students in this community who are malnourished spiritually because they haven't been fed the Word of God. That's one of the tasks a church has, not just for young people, but for the entire community of people, but especially for the next generation. Matthew 7, 9 through 11, Jesus says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will God in heaven give good gifts to those that ask him? In there, it talks about that process of feeding our kids and how God feeds us, and we need to be feeding others. We've got to teach our young people to enjoy the Word of God. The second trait that I wanted to point out in here is the trait number four. Parents play with their kids. You know, earlier we said, everybody give each other a high five, right? Let's do it again. Someone next to you, just high five them right now. Yeah, that's just kind of a fun, youthful thing that we do, right? I had meant to have a little football here that I could throw around the room and play catch, but I wanted to be careful I didn't break anything. And, you know, sometimes I get a little too into that, and all of a sudden I forgot I was preaching. But the idea of playing together as a family is part of God's design. 1 Timothy 6:17. Again, back to Timothy. This is Paul. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God provides us not just to have our needs met because he wants you to smile and laugh while you're doing it. And that's what church should be. I know there's parts of church that are serious, and obviously that's important, but there's also parts that are fun, that are enjoyable, that you should be laughing out loud. You know, when I said my wife was married to her sister, you should have laughed like crazy in this place. I'm trying to act like I planned that, you know. But that's good in a church. There's too many churches that I travel to, and there's just no noise. There's no laughter, there's no joy, and I thank God I've seen it here. And that should be in our homes. That should be the way we parent others. Fun. Not only do we teach them the Word of God, but we teach them to love it and have fun with it. And so when you look at a young people's ministry, it's going to be full of the Word, lots of food, and it's going to be full of fun. And that's what we strive to do in Nebraska Youth Ministries. So it starts in your home. All right, consider your home. Make sure your home is a place where you're feeding the Word of God, where you're having fun. This church is that, and that's the foundation where we can be good spiritual parents to young people in this church and in our community. Second thing, share your home. All right, look at this picture, the beautiful fire again, but this time you see all the chairs around it. Doesn't that just look like a lodge or just, you know, a retreat center or something like that? I'd love this to be at our camp. In fact, we're working hard to have these types of things developed soon at our campground. I wish that was my home. Wouldn't that be great? If that's anybody's backyard, invite us over. We want to come out. But I love how those chairs are gathered around, because share your home. Do you know how many kids have never experienced a Christian home in this world today? We have kids come over all the time to our house. And my daughter constantly says to us, and it's kind of humbling, but she says, yeah, my friends were talking about you, and they said they wish you were their mom or dad. Now, it's not because we're perfect, trust me. But I know it's because they're seeing Jesus in us, and they have never seen it before. And the light turns on for them. In fact, I know my daughter is a great example of Christ to them as well, and they probably wonder about her, and then they come in the home and they see where it's from. And they, you know, God starts putting the puzzle together. There's something more out there, and I've been missing it my whole life. We got to share our home. We got to invite. In fact, our home becomes an outreach for the church. In fact, one of the greatest ways we could get people into here is it starts in your home. And then they go in the home, they go, why is this place so awesome? Well, you need to come visit my church. We don't have those lights at my home, you know. The curtains don't look like that at home. You know, the pastor doesn't preach like that at home. I mean, you know, there's some things. Again, it's an outreach that leads to the church. And people need to experience a Christian home. Here's some traits that we can take away from this one. Trait number three, parents protect their loved ones. How many people know the devil is out to kidnap and kill our young people? And especially your kids. I mean, we got three, and the devil's working overtime to destroy their lives. So it's a parent's job to stand in the way. You know how many kids in this community don't have anybody standing in the way for them? Breaks our hearts. The scary thing is oftentimes we see them in the community And rather than think like, man, they need somebody to stand in the way, we judge and say, ah, look at them, hanging out on the corner, causing problems, making noise in the mall, or not being respectful at the restaurant, or, you know, when I go to a basketball game, they're all cussing at the refs. Or we say these things and don't realize no one's standing there. No one's blocking the enemy. No one, they haven't seen an example even. And we're judging when we need to be saying, God, how can I help? Because that's an opportunity for me to protect. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 7 says, your country is desolate, your cities burned with fire, your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before your eyes, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. That's somebody from the outside coming and just violating us. And that's what the enemy desires to do to our young people. And we have to say no. It's not just prayer, though that's so important. It's standing up and getting their attention. As I was putting this message together, there was an image. I went on a missions trip to Morocco, and that's a closed country to the gospel. And so we were kind of secretly smuggling Bibles into that nation and doing human videos on the streets. And I remember one night that one of my students had made a connection during our presentation in the streets with a guy that spoke English, and he wanted to hear more. And so he asked him to come meet in this secret location. Now, he didn't check with me, the leader, because I'd have said, oh, wait a second, you know, because this is just a young adult and I'm responsible. I would have gone with them, or I would have asked our missionary for help. But I found this out later. When we all went back to the hotel that night, he snuck away with this guy down this dark alley. And I can't explain to you how fearful these situations were. I don't know if you've been on a place like this, but we were literally leaving in the middle of the night every night and traveling to a new city trying to outrun the authorities. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. And this young man went down this alley, and he told me the story about how it was so dark and so scary that he wished he'd have had me there to hold his hand. Now, you'd have to know the young man to know. I mean, he's a tough guy. In fact, he's a cop in Omaha now. But he wanted me to hold his hand. Me. Not pastor. Me. That just shows how scary that was for him. And I think how many times our young people are walking through dark, dark places in this world, faced with challenges that they should not have to face alone, like a little kid, and they're reaching out for someone to hold their hand, and there's nobody there. Just recently, I had a guy that reached into my pocket while I was eating at Panera, pulled my wallet out, stole my credit cards, and tried to ring up like $15,000 worth of stuff. I've been praying a lot of vengeful prayers about this young man or whoever this is. As I was putting this message together, God said he's reaching out and no one is holding his hand. I saw him a totally different light. A few years back, I came home after work during the day and my wife was out at school, and I went into the house and someone was in there robbing us. And they ran out the back before I could get them, and I don't know that I would have got them anyway. I act like I'm so tough, but I'm really not that tough. Kim will tell you, I mean, I slept with a baseball bat on the couch for 2 weeks. You know, I mean, I felt violated, and I prayed a lot of these vengeful prayers. And I was putting this message together, and again, God put an image of who that guy was in my head. And instead of seeing him as this horrible person that I wanted to hurt, I saw him as a person in a dark alley reaching out, and no one was there to hold his hand. So what did he become? Our children need us to protect them. They're looking and reaching out for somebody to do that. I want to show you a quick video, a great example of how this happens.
A life lesson from a former NBA superstar who made millions but says no job counts more than the one he's doing now. ABC's David Curley.
All right, go across the street. Go across.
Few of these kids know that the crossing guard they're high-fiving in that bright green jacket in a Silver Spring, Maryland crosswalk is an NBA Hall of Famer, an Olympic gold medalist, and a millionaire.
Why you want to be a crossing guard? It's not beneath me. You know, I'm a regular guy. I just played basketball. I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm a regular guy, and I like working.
58-year-old Adrian Dantley, who now uses a whistle.
Dantley draws the foul.
Heard plenty of whistles during his 15-year pro career. The Washington, D.C. high school phenom became an All-American at Notre Dame. During his pro days, the 6'5" Dantley made north of $1 million a year. As a county crossing guard, less than 15 grand a year. But then for Dantley, whose friends will tell you he is frugal and certainly has a net worth well into seven figures, this is not about the money.
Basically, I did it just to be around the kids.
Dantley will try to break an 11-1.
His NBA days as a player and coach have paid off. Look at this. He appears to be playing defense as he fends off cars on the street. And more than once, those long, sweeping arms have been lifesavers.
I definitely saved two kids' lives.
The job has meaning.
Oh, it definitely has meaning, and I feel like I'm doing something, helping the community, and it's all about the kids.
Dantley says for the next 20 years...
I get him all more. You got to wait. I can't do it now, okay?
You'll find him in the crosswalk. David Curley, ABC News, Silver Spring, Maryland.
And that a great example, protecting our kids. So just a quick story, and I'll move on, but when I was a pastor at Bellevue... And I was young pastor. There was a boy that came and visited our group, junior high group, named Carlos. I don't know if Kim remembers the story, but I got his name and his number, wrote it down, put it on a sheet of paper, and brought it back to my house. I was dating Kim at the time, and so I was a little distracted. That's what happens. And I never got around to calling him. And it was a couple months later that we heard the news at my sister's apartment village. There was a lady who had groceries, and she was trying to get them out from her car into her apartment, and a young man came up and asked her for her money, her purse. She wouldn't give it, and he stabbed her. And guess what? It was Carlos. Our young people are reaching out for someone to hold their hand, and when we don't do it, someone else steps in. The enemy. We need to protect our kids. Another trait is number 6 from this list. You can pull up that again, that list before there. But it's when we want to correct our kids. Here's an important thing. When you protect your kids, you correct them. Because if you don't correct them, you're not protecting them. Sin, not corrected, only produces more sin. It's got to be taken care of. Discipline is a part of that. I know it may be uncomfortable, it may not be easy, but that's one of the greatest ways we love the young people that God's given us, is by disciplining them. Think of your own life, the lessons you learned because somebody said no, because somebody said don't do that, because somebody said, all right, we're gonna do this because you did that. Those are the things our young people need. Proverbs 19:18 says, discipline your kids, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. Well, that's as clear as it can be. Now, here's an interesting point, too, when you look at that where it says correct. When you do these other things with them, when you feed them, provide, protect, love, when you do all these things and have fun, you earn the right. So when you correct, it's not easy, but they trust you. They trust you. And then the last point, all right, so we had that it starts with the home. You need to share your home. The last way we can be great spiritual parents to the young people around our area is to share yourself. I know that role well now because there comes a point when your kids are old enough to step out on their own, and now you become more of a mentor and a friend in the sense that now I'm giving advice. Recently, my son is making a decision that I'm not very comfortable with. It's not a bad decision. It's not unethical. It's just I would do something different. I've encouraged him down that way, and it's been hard for me. You know, I want to tell him, what do you think you're doing? But I said, have you prayed? Yeah, I prayed. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. All right, buddy, I'm going to trust you. And I'm giving him a chance. God's teaching me this lesson right here in my life that I need to share myself. There's two traits, and they're the last two. And I love that image there, by the way, the two people on the bike like that. We'll come back to that, but let's show these traits. Number 7 is parents challenge their kids. 2 Timothy again, Timothy 4:1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. And it stops. Now, most of the time when we hear this quoted, you go on, because verse 2 is, preach the word, be in season and out of season. I've heard that over and over. In fact, I think they said that over me when I was ordained as a minister. But I love stopping it right where I did, because Paul gave him this charge, this challenge. He challenged his young person. We've got to challenge them. We can't coddle them. We can't put them in a place where they never experience risk or possible failure. We've got to push them out and get them out there. And be there the whole time to help them through it. So we've got to challenge our young people not to settle for where they are, but to push for more. We've got to help instill a desire in their lives for more. And the best way we do that is if they see it in you and me. Do you have a desire for more? Are you pushing yourself? Are you taking risks for God? Because when we do, they will follow. We can't tell them to do those things when we have gotten into a place where we did that when we were younger, but not anymore. I see that too often, where it's the kids that are the ones reaching out in the community, and the adults seem to kind of be sitting back and be comfortable just showing up week after week and never inviting a friend at all. God wants us to challenge ourselves and lead them in that way. And then the final trait is the final one. Parents empower their kids. And I was talking about that with my children. And even Jesus had to leave his disciples. And as he's leaving, he challenges them with the great charge to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's his charge to you and I. But that was while he was leaving. But again, remember, when he left, what did he do? He left his Holy Spirit to guide and to mentor and to help and counsel. That's how God wants us to spiritually lead the young people, is eventually empower them to take over. Because they're not just the next generation, they're now. And they're part of it where we're going. And they've got to learn what they're doing, so when it's their turn, they're ready. So we need to empower them. And I love that image again of the bike. If you put that back up. I remember when I was teaching my kids how to ride a bike. Anybody ever done that before? Hopefully. And Kim will probably have fun with this. You know, you get them going, and then you release them. Right? I scream my knee. Now my wife was like, oh, you know, comes running, oh, take. And I'm like, wait, get. Now, nothing wrong. Can we? Let's get him back on the bike, right? We got to push him again. I don't want to get back. You got to get back on the bike. Push him again. Dad hates me. I'm so hurting. Come on, get back on the bike. And now they're riding all over the place, right? They've got to fall a couple times until they're ready. They got to skin their knee to appreciate their balance. But they'll never learn unless we let them go. So we got to get them to a point where they're ready for that. And we empower our kids by standing by them when it's time for them to make their decisions. So I'm going to ask our worship team to come back and join me here at the platform. I want to read a little story to you. It's called Manners. The tired ex-teacher edged closer to the counter at Kmart. Any Kmarts in Council Bluffs anymore? I was just in Alliance, Nebraska, which is about as far away from here as you can get. And there's a Kmart still there. I was shocked. We had to go just to enjoy Kmart. Her left leg hurt, and she hoped she had taken all of her pills for the day, the ones for her high blood pressure, dizziness, and a host of other ills. Thank goodness I retired years ago, she thought to herself. I don't have the energy to teach these days. Just before the line to the counter formed, she spotted a young man with four kids and a pregnant wife or girlfriend in tow. The teacher couldn't miss the big tattoo on his neck. He's been to prison, she thought. She continued checking him out. His white t-shirt, shaved hair, and baggy pants led her to surmise he's a gang member too. The teacher tried to let the man go ahead of her. You can go first, she said. No, no. After you, ma'am, he insisted. No, young man, you have more people with you, said the teacher. We should respect our elders, replied the man. And with that, he gestured with a sweeping motion, indicating the way for the lady to go. A brief smile flickered on her lips as she hobbled in front of him. That teacher in her, the retired teacher, decided she couldn't let this moment go. So she turned back to him and she said, "Excuse me, who taught you those good manners that you showed today?" And he looked at her and said, "Well, you did, Mrs. Simpson, in third grade." Isn't that a beautiful story? True story. God's looking for some adults, some churches, people like you and me that would commit to be spiritual parents for young people. My job is working with young people, kids, youth, young adults, and I'm a spiritual parent. That's an honor. It's not easy, sure. There's times when I feel that weight of expectation. But it means the world to those kids that are reaching out. I just think of, we judge so quickly, but these young people, it's like they never had a chance. Some of them. Because no one was there. And I say, not anymore. Not in my neighborhood, not in my community. I want to. If they don't have that parent at home that's doing it, then I'll do it. I'll do it, God. So this morning, I just wanted to challenge you. Let's raise up the next generation. Let's invest in them the best we can by being spiritual parents. Right? We'll feed them the Word of God. We'll have fun with them. We'll watch crazy SpongeBob videos and like them even if we have no idea what's going on. We'll protect them and correct them. And when they're ready, we'll challenge and empower them to take over someday. I want to do this. I love how the young people are here on the platform, and I know we have several over here as well. Can I just have any young person in here who's a teenager to stand your feet, if you would. If there's any college students as well, you can stand up. And I'm just going to lead us in prayer for our young people all across this church. And if you're still in your seat, I just want you to turn in your seat. If you want to stand, you can. But would you be comfortable just stretching out a hand towards some of these young people? And various ones of you can even stretch towards the stage here to these great worship leaders. And I'm going to pray before I have Pastor Joseph come close us out. So let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this church, and I thank you, God, for the tremendous amount of young people that are here and the kind of love I see in them for you. I pray you bless this church for being faithful with that. Lord, we pray for our young people right now. We just lift up a cry, God, that you would do something great in their lives. God, we ask that you would help us, Lord, to feed them the Word of God. I pray you develop in them a passion to get to know you and to be in your Word and to live it out in their lives. I pray, God, that the youth and the young people in this church would have fun in church, that they would enjoy it, that they would enjoy it so much that they want to bring their friends and their loved ones in as well. God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to protect them. God, if any of them are walking in dark places right now, I ask that, God, you would help us to intervene, put us where we need to be to intervene and to save them from walking down a road of disaster. Lord, help us to correct them, Lord, and discipline them, Father, the right way, like a father to a son or a mom to a daughter. I pray, God, that we would do all we can to challenge them, God, to step up and want more. God, put that in our hearts. Put that in our hearts, God, so that we want more, that they would follow our example, and that we would lead the way. And then, God, I pray that when it's ready, Lord, you'd show us the time to empower them. God, I ask for all of the young people that aren't here today, Lord, as we're stretching our hands towards those that are here, God, Lord, we just pray for those outside these walls right now. We pray, God, that you would make the light bright at this church and in these people and in our homes to draw them in, Jesus. Wherever they're at, all across this community, I pray, God, you draw them in, Lord. You know, God, the dark things that are going on all around us. Lord, I pray somehow, some way, God, get their attention with us. Draw them into us, God. Let us not be surprised when we're encountered with crazy situations or things where young people are all around us. It's you. And Lord, I pray, draw them in, Jesus, so we can be a part of bringing them to you, Father, and changing those lives and putting them on the course you planned for them from the beginning. God, I ask that you would put an anointing on this church to reach young people, God, all over this area like never before. In Jesus' name. Amen. One more thing that I want to do, and you can be seated, but if you're in this church and maybe you have a son or a daughter, and your heart cries out to them because maybe they're not living for Christ, maybe they walked away. I haven't done this actually for some time, but when I would travel, I would always try to pray at churches for that, because many times I'd have people come up to me afterwards and say they enjoyed the message, and then they kind of have tears in their eyes because they tell me about a son or a daughter who used to be here, but they're not anymore. And who knows what's happened. But I believe that God could even reach and touch them in this moment as we pray. So if that's you, we want to pray together for you. So if you're uncomfortable making a notion, that's fine. You can talk to Pastor later about it privately. But if you wouldn't mind, is there anybody here in that situation you just want us to pray for one of your kids? If you see a hand around you, why don't you go to it? Let's go to them and let's pray together as we close out. So you see hands up in the air. If you're comfortable, just reach out. God still cares about your kids. You hear me? God didn't give up on those kids. I'm not giving up on them. You're not giving up on them. And let's pray for a miracle today. Can we do that? I'm going to ask everybody to pray. And I'm even going to be quiet for a minute and let you pray. And I just want you to try to pray out loud enough to hear your own voice, okay? But let's all pray now for the loved ones among us that they would come back to Christ. Let's do it. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. God, we pray for these. Lord, those hands are in the air. We have loved ones, God, that might be far from you, God. We ask, Lord, reach them, Jesus. Oh, God. Especially if they're nearby, I pray that right now in this moment something would happen, that you do something, Jesus, that they would feel your presence, that they would feel you looking on them or talking to them right now, and they would know, Jesus, that it's you. God, I pray that you would help us. Maybe there's something we could do different, God, that would draw them in more. There's something we could do or say, God, that would be an example to show us, God, lead us, God. God, I pray for these that care about their loved ones that are lost, Lord, we pray, bring them back, Jesus, like the prodigal son, God, bring them back, Jesus, wherever they may be, all across this nation, this world, bring them back to you, Father. We believe in you for it, God. We pray, God, reach them, God, in Jesus' name. God, we care about them. Lord, I don't even know their names, but Jesus, I can see that image of them reaching out for someone to hold their hand. God, I pray that, Lord, you do it. Jesus, reach them now, God. Please, God, pray for that miracle, Lord. Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God, thank you. Thank you. You know, this is a great picture of what the church is, where we can love each other and care for each other. Our families become one. And one of the things I saw as soon as I came in, you belong here. And that's a sign of it right there. It's not just if your kids are struggling. Whatever may be happening in your life, whatever's going on, the church is here to get through it together, to be strong together, and to praise God together. Hey, thanks for letting me be here this morning. Pastor Joseph.